Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Three words of bottom line truth for the NC State baseball team. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. And my three words of bottom line truth for the now back at home Wolfpack baseball team, you chose this. I don't know if anyone tunes into this show to hear about college baseball, but you're not going to. This is not a baseball story, what happened over the weekend. This is an athletic story, and unfortunately, it's also a societal story. But if you, I don't know, your family reunion this weekend, weren't paying attention. It's okay. Vanderbilt and NC State on Friday night. Dan, you follow college baseball. Just interject if I get anything wrong, would you?
You got it.
All right. By my count, NC State, I think, had 14 players on.
They had 13 on Friday.
Friday night, 13 players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have their best player, and they had to throw a guy who had eight innings all year, and some guys hadn't got a single at bat, but you're in a College World Series, there you go. You're playing the best team in America, maybe. And they're loaded with pitching, so go get you some 13 players. And they almost won. In fact, they had runners on. Base hit, something could have happened, so they lose 3-1, and now it's an elimination game on Saturday, and at 2 a.m., they get told, yeah, you're out. You got to go home. Positive test, too many of them, you're going home. Now, that's the reason they only had, I thought 14, Dan said 13 players. That's the reason they only had those. Is because positive COVID test. Well, and their best player, he's gonna be a draft pick, right? He got sent home. I think a projected first round draft pick. He got sent home, and they were already missing other players, so that's why they had positive test all the way down to 13 players. Vanderbilt didn't have any positive tests. Vanderbilt requires all of their scholarship athletes and every student at the school to be vaccinated, or you ain't coming back. They're private. They don't care what you think about it. They don't take your tax dollars. They can do what they want. NC State, not the same. Now, I'm not a cold individual, and I have no interest in Vanderbilt baseball, NC State baseball. I enjoy the heck out of the College World Series, just the brackets and how you got to work your pitching, but I don't have any person. I watched North Carolina and Oregon State. Dan, do you remember when they played about 15 years ago? Andrew Miller was part of it. Every single year, and I can talk about Houston Street with Texas and South Carolina winning back-to-back. I've had such a great time every year for about 40 years watching the College World Series. And NC State chose this. What do you mean, Chuck? I mean, it's 100% self-inflicted. And I don't have any sympathy for how your season ended. Now, there's no joy, no upside for me. I don't view it as even more proof or whatever word about the vaccine. It is independent of that. I am going to state facts here. So if anybody's listening and maybe you want to take exception, understand, I'm about to give you facts, not opinion. So you would need to be mad at the facts. Vanderbilt's team is 100% vaccinated. They get to keep playing. NC State's team wasn't 100% vaccinated, and that's 100% of the reason their team is done. But what about the players at NC State who are vaccinated? It stinks for those kids. And it should also put an end to the, hey, personal responsibility, personal choices. If I'm doing my thing and staying healthy, that's my choice. Yep. And several NC State baseball players' personal choice was actually those people making the choice for everyone. John Rahm, VCU and March Madness, Notre Dame's hockey team, Rice's volleyball team, 20 bowl games. You were not ambushed, NC State baseball. And your coach whiffed too. Dan, you played athletics, correct?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here is the quote from the NC State head baseball coach. I don't try to indoctrinate my kids with my values or opinions. Really? Dan, have you ever played for a coach who didn't try to indoctrinate you with values and opinions? Like hard work. You know what that is? It's a value. Dedication. Value. Being a good teammate. Doing your best. Aren't all those values?
Yeah, usually they're trying to make us better people than we were before.
In fact, I never played at the level you did, okay? I never played pro ball. I never did any of that. I don't know any coach who doesn't try to instill his values on his players. Literally, not one. And if anybody is listening right now, feel free. Forward my comments to the NC State baseball coach because I'm all ears. I would bet as long as that man has been in coaching, he has been trying to instill his values on players. Isn't that what Nick Saban told me at Media Days like 3 years ago? I was like, brother, you started working 45 years ago. Go home. Like, nobody works. What are you chasing us? And I said, it's not money. It's not rings. What is it? It's not fame. It's not reputation. It's not what, I want to make the Hall of Fame. Dude, they may name the Hall of Fame the Nick Saban College Football Hall of Fame. Like the Cy Young Award. Like when he was still playing, I mean, Cy Young, did he sit around? Man, I hope it went to me this year. Nick Saban, I hope I get into the me after I retire. Every single coach instills their – I was like, what are you chasing? And he said, I like taking a young man who's 18 and seeing him be a better man when he's 21, 22, 23. I like seeing somebody become whatever their personal 100% is. That was Nick Saban. I don't know. I'll trust him when it comes to what it is to be a coach. I know the NCAA and all their shortcomings and all their outright failures. This is not one of them. And like I said, I'm not even necessarily a college baseball fan. I'm a college World Series fan because it's just an unbelievable event. And I even stayed with it. I don't know if y'all will even remember this because we have, you know, memories like 15 minutes now because of Twitter and everything else. But it used to be whenever you had your first loss, brother, that's your first loss. It's like luggage. You keep it for the rest of the tournament. Now you can lose game one. If you're one of the final two standing, you can start over again. Best two out of three.
It even got better. You could have lost that first game and the other team had not lost any. And
didn't matter.
Hey, too bad. One game championship plays for it all.
Absolutely. Would not matter at all. And so now you've got the best two out of three. And I was like, yeah, I don't really dig that, but all right, I'll roll. I just love it. I don't love Vanderbilt. I don't love NC State. And I don't root again you either. But I just went through a list of events, and I tried. We had hockey, volleyball, golf, March Madness, College World Series, NC State. We are 16 months into this. The three words, you chose this.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
What we can do is remove our roster numbers from last year. So recall 53 available players, a certain number of offensive linemen, defensive linemen, quarterbacks, and say you're responsible to have a healthy team and be present at the scheduled time on the scheduled date to play.
It's on you. That is Greg Sankey. Is that on Paul Feinbaum?
Correct.
Paul Feinbaum is a radio host, TV host. He's on SEC Network currently, and he had Greg Sankey on as a guest. And those were Greg Sankey's comments. And he's being asked, you're talking as a direct response. Hey, any SEC fan who over the last 48 hours, any football, I don't know, maybe your conference commissioner will be the same way. But any SEC fan who over the last 48 hours is like, oh, my gosh, I hope what happened to NC State doesn't happen to my football team come fall. Greg Sankey is saying it's up to your team. Essentially, the short version of his message is, as a conference, we're not slowing down for you. As a conference, if whatever happens that leaves you in a situation where you can't compete on a Saturday, tough biscuit. That's you. You know, as part of this story, there were several players. I'm going to take out several. There were multiple players, so at least two, on the NC State baseball team who had been fully vaccinated, who then tested positive. While rare, that can happen. I don't know if this has not been verified, at least, but I have seen it referenced in print by reputable places, news organizations, that it is generally thought that the NC State baseball team was not even approaching full vaccination. And so that it was more likely to happen with the NC State baseball team than even with the players who had been vaccinated, at least two of them. So that's what you're dealing with. And Greg Sankey is saying, all right, well, all those examples, and he didn't say this, all those examples Chuck just listed from golf and hockey and volleyball and baseball and every other sport, there are going to be stories this fall, and it's going to be fill-in-the-blank school forfeits today's game because they only got 47 kids. Or they play the game, and it ain't Cumberland and Georgia Tech. It's pretty close. I think the most recent game where an NCAA football Division I football team scored more than 100, I think it might have been the University of Houston. And I'm not talking Andre Ware, David Klingler. I'm going back to the late 60s. Dan, see that they beat Tulsa like 100-3? Maybe 68. So you're going to have, it may not be 100-3, might have been 100-6, but you're going to have some surprisingly non-competitive Saturdays. And it's going to be because Greg Sankey will be on the phone that morning with an athletic director, even a head coach, saying, brother, I told you in June that we weren't going to back up, we weren't going to slow down, we weren't going to do any of this. And so all week, all year, it's all college football. Why are you talking College World Series? I ain't talking College World Series. I'm talking sports. And I'm talking the one that we ought, the reason this show exists, the one that I care about. I'm sure you could do an SEC, an all college baseball show. You wouldn't have as many affiliates, and it probably wouldn't be 2 hours a day. But this is college football. And what happened in Omaha over the weekend and what Greg Sankey just said, again, there are going to be other conference commissioners to look around, including maybe the new guy in the ACC, and it's going to be a tough sell, especially in Raleigh. But you're going to have other conference commissioners say, all right, the Southeastern Conference just said it, us too. We're 16 months into it. The vaccine, widely available. There will be a football team that by choice loses on a Saturday this coming season for the same reason NC State lost by choice. What up, Dan?
It was 100-6, November 23rd, 1968, inside the eighth wonder of the world known as the Houston Astrodome.
Dr. Phil played linebacker on that Tulsa team.
Did he really?
Yep.
I did not know that. How about that? Yep. Yeah, that's something you learn every day.
I don't know what you're supposed to do with that information. But now that you have go ahead.
I got to believe maybe there would be a bar trivia that comes up. Dr. Phil McGraw played linebacker for what American University? Ooh, I know. So we would be the ones.
5 points. We bet it all.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We would be the ones earning the most bar tab credit that night for sure. Chuck, so often I think it's so hard to resist the urges of the dreaded comparison. That's what we love to do in this game, isn't it? That we love to say, hey, that player looks like that player, or that player has characteristics like said player. And we see it again. I was just reading recently, Pro Football Focus, who does a great job, somebody throwing out about Spencer Rattler that he has, quote, a little bit of Texas Tech's Patrick Mahomes in him. No,
love it.
No. Don't do it. Don't, especially two of people who are good at evaluating people and who can give you the mumbo jumbo and everything that comes with it of his hands do this, his feet do this, all of the different types of things, the way he sees the field. The one way that I think I have really appreciated a name being brought up and compared to somebody was when it was shot down. Somebody tried to do it a few years ago to Bill Belichick about Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Even before the guy could get through the end of the question, he stopped and said, hold on. There is no Lawrence Taylor. There's only one Lawrence Taylor. And I think that that's what someone similarly needs to do here is just say, hey, man, he's not Patrick Mahomes. Now, I get it. He's not saying that he's Patrick Mahomes. But at the same time, though, too, it's just one of those things that I appreciate from certain people when they give me analysis because I trust them. That's why I'm going to them for said analysis. But this is something that we've just got to break from because there is nobody in the game right now that you look at and say, ooh, he's Patrick Mahomes. You look at people, and if somebody brings it up to him, you say, I didn't say that. What I said was he's got these characteristics. He's got the speed. He's got the arm. He's got this field vision, all these different types of things. And as fans, I think you should want that a little bit more because I, for one, appreciate the people who, once I read or hear something that they say, I say, huh, I learned something today. It's something I really appreciate personally.
Yeah, and it's supposed to do two things. And I talk all the time. I've talked about the Percy position. Hey, he's the new Percy. And that lasted about 13 years or 12 years until finally Kadarius Toney last year. He's the new Percy. Now I'm hearing, well, who's the new Kadarius? So maybe we finally let Percy Harvin go. You should never compare a current college player to Percy Harvin. I might have said that if you were comparing Percy Harvin to whomever before, don't compare, he's only a freshman. And then a couple years later, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, go ahead and compare him to whomever. We do that. We have two goals. We want to plant an image in your mind of the type of player, not who he is. He's a type of player. He's like Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he's maybe a runaround guy, but more mobile than actually crossing the line of scrimmage. Throws from all different arm angles. Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Yeah, but he's doing it as a college sophomore, right? Okay, now we have some perspective. That's the first thing. Plant an image in your mind, but also it needs to be one of someone that you're familiar with, and it still is unfair.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The Texas A&M quarterback competition in August could determine the national championship. I don't know how there could be a position battle anywhere in America that could be more impactful than that, but it could determine who wins versus Alabama when they play, and that is October 9th. It could determine who wins the West, who wins the SEC, which means, hey, that's the play-in tournament to the 4-team playoff. So yeah, whoever wins this quarterback competition out of College Station could determine the national championship. And I got to say something for Jimbo. I mean, obviously, you don't get better by losing a 3.5-year starter quarterback, and that's true, especially somebody with the mentality to handle the 2-hour and 15-minute assault every afternoon at practice from Jimbo. I'll give him credit, man. This roster looks SEC all the way. And it used to look like Mike Evans and then some other guys, and it would look like Von Miller and some other guys. It most often would look like a good collection of some SEC caliber players and then other guys. Man, it's SEC top to bottom now. It's taken him about 3 years, and this looks like some of his Florida State teams now. Everybody's big and can move. Want to welcome on now a guy who can tell us all about that quarterback competition and how it may play out from CBS Sports. It is Barrett Salee. Barrett, brother, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing good. Give everybody the full business card where they can get Barrett on their screen, in their ears, everything.
Yeah, man. CBS Sports HQ, CBSSports.com, the CBS Sports app, SiriusXM, and across all socials at Barrett Salee, specifically Instagram, because we all know Twitter is a self-cesspool these days. And Instagram's a lot nicer.
Is it? I'm not on the Insta.
You need to be on the IG. It's where all the cool kids are.
Okay, well, I would like to be a cool kid at some point. Been waiting long enough. Let's talk about the Texas A&M quarterback job. Will it be one? Will it actually be a competition that someone wins, or will it be Haynes King and Zach Calzada?
I think it'll be a secret until week one, because I think that's how Jimbo is going to want to roll, because these two guys are so mysterious and really, so inexperienced. So I think it will be a mystery. Ultimately, I think Haynes King is going to be the guy. He can move. He's not Johnny Manziel, but he's a lot more Johnny Manziel than Kellen Mond was, and probably equal in terms of a passer, or at least in terms of potential as a passer. So I don't think that it's going to be a quarterback rotation. The battle is going to be interesting. I think it'll be Haynes King. They both were sort of okay in the spring game, and I know it's a spring game, and you're not really supposed to take much from that. But, I think it'll be an important battle. I think Haynes King will come out on top. But Calzada, we'll see. It'll be a fun battle to watch in College Station. And you said it was going to be one that could determine the national championship. I wouldn't go that far, because I do think A&M is going to be pretty solid regardless. As long as they get their offensive line kinks worked out, Kenyon Green's great. Then it's a bunch of mysterious guys that we don't know. And that could be ultimately a deciding factor whether that quarterback battle does decide a national champion or an SEC West champion.
Talk about the roster, the 1 through 85, because, I mean, even Alabama, Nick Saban looks and is like, we got two guys that I wouldn't have on scholarship here, it turns out. I mean, he's got like two. Most programs, you got 10 or 12 that maybe you over-recruited. I think Jimbo has this Texas A&M roster looking exactly how he wants it. It is impressive, every single unit.
It is, and I agree with you. I think the biggest change for Texas A&M between what Jimbo has done and what Kevin Sumlin had is that really from a defensive line perspective, way bigger, faster, stronger, and more depth. And I think, Leal is sort of encapsulates that, but you look at what they are right now, they're pretty much too deep across the board. And when you factor in along the offensive line, yeah, you only have one returning starter. He's a really good one. But you don't really have that as much of a concern in terms of overall talent. The experience is a question for sure. But they've recruited very well there. So I agree with you. I think Jimbo Fisher has made a much more concerted effort to blend spread football, what you see from in the state of Texas from an offensive perspective, with power football, which you absolutely have to have in the SEC. Done a pretty good job of it. It's not where it needs to be in terms of overall roster talent and depth like you see at Alabama and at Georgia, and I would say at LSU as well. But it's getting there. It's pretty darn close.
All right, well, Baton Rouge is a good place to drop off because I'm assuming you're like everybody else. Literally, it's me and Miles Brennan. We're the only two that think he should be the quarterback. Tell me what how you break down that thing.
Well, I think he will be too, but I think it's a really healthy problem for Ed Orgeron because Miles Brennan, I know LSU was a joke early in the year last year. It wasn't due to Miles Brennan. He was awesome. Then obviously T.J. Finley came in. He was pretty decent, and we know what Max Johnson can do, and then Garrett Nussmeier is behind them. So even without T.J. Finley, you look at three guys who probably can be stars, two of which have had moments of brilliance already in the SEC. And I think when you look at their running back situation, really solid as well. And you mentioned in the lead-in that you think the Texas A&M quarterback battle could determine the national championship. I wholeheartedly disagree with you. I think the LSU quarterback battle will be the one that has the biggest impact on the national championship because whether it's Miles Brennan, Max Johnson, Nussmeier, whoever, I think all three of those guys have built a culture of competition where all three will be extremely, extremely solid no matter who ends up as the number one player on that depth chart.
Continuing with Barrett Salee from CBSSports.com. Barrett, I'm getting the willies here. We're talking about potential national champions. We've covered two programs from the West and haven't even mentioned Bama yet. I'll ask you, same question I've asked five people so far. Just tell me what you think the offense is going to look like with Bryce Young. Not necessarily, who's the breakout star and all that, but what do you think the approach is going to be? Maybe the first month with Bryce Young.
I hate to compare them to their cross-state, rivals. I think it'll look a lot like Auburn with Jarrett Stidham and Kerryon Johnson, where, Jarrett Stidham, good passer, pretty decent supporting cast in terms of experience, upside is there, and enough of a runner where he's willing to run. Bryce Young's more mobile than Jarrett Stidham. I 100% believe that, of course.
Yeah.
But I think that's all they're going to ask of him to do. Run the ball 5-10 times a game by design, scramble and buy some time if you need to do it, and rely on your weapons. I think that's probably where a little bit more of a mobile spread, the typical spread offense version of what that Auburn team was. Like I said, I think Bryce Young certainly more mobile, but I don't think they're necessarily going to be counting on him to be extremely mobile in year one, and they'll might build on that, in year two, three, or four. But I think it, no matter what, for Alabama, it is all about the offensive line. I know they had some guys out in the spring game, but if they don't work out that issue, and it is an issue for them, then Bryce Young is going to have a tough time trying to be consistent in his first real meaningful action as a quarterback.
Wrapping up with Barrett Salee from CBS Sports. Barrett, let's jump over on the defensive side. I want to ask you about a couple of studs over there, or at least potential studs. Can LeBryan Ray still be a star?
Well, he's like 30 now, isn't he?
He should have an advantage.
Good Lord, he's been around forever. Look, the injuries are concerning, right? Like, I think that, if you keep having issues over and over again, it's something to be wary of. I still think he can be. I thought last year going in that he was going to be able to clog up that middle and not really have an issue. Didn't happen. But they've got so many other weapons around him along that defensive line and really in the front seven to begin with that I think they can help him out. But, no, it's a fair question, and I hate to dodge it, but from a talent perspective, perspective, yeah, he can be. But from an injury perspective, I think it's fair to question whether his glory days, so to speak, are behind him.
All right, and I'm going to give you a name that if you're not an Auburn fan, Kobe Wooden play for about five snaps, and I was like, he's the one. He's different. He's the next one. Give me your opinion about Kobe Wooden, who, by the way, I need to tell everybody, he's a rising sophomore, or maybe he's a redshirt freshman, actually, defensive end at Auburn, because I bet you nobody outside the Auburn fan base got any clue who he is.
No, not many people do. And, in terms of what his potential is, you look at – you talk to some coaches, and I've talked to some coaches about him, and they are very excited about him. He's about six. He's a long stick defensive end, but he can play defensive tackle as well. And I think that's what's interesting about him is when you look at Derek Mason's defenses at Vanderbilt and even dating back to his time at Stanford, he likes those guys, those big-bodied defensive end/tackles who can do a lot of things in a variety of different schemes. And Mason's defenses are multiple, right? You go from 3-4 to 4-3, kind of bounce around, and Wooden can do that based on his size, speed, and skill. So he's going to be a big, important piece of that puzzle. He's not to me, he's a lot like what Marlon Davidson was when he won the job as a freshman, when he became a starter as a freshman. He sort of was that tweener that can really do a lot of damage, didn't do the damage that he did as a senior, obviously, but was still a valuable piece of that puzzle, and that's kind of where I compare him right now.
Bounce to the East. Todd Grantham, he has that get-paid spot. Like, if you want to play for me, I will get you paid in the NFL. Can Brenton Cox be that kind of player?
Brenton Cox is obviously super talented. He came from Georgia. I think a lot of folks expected him to be a superstar last year. It didn't really happen. He was I think he started every single game, but he was just sort of a guy, right? He was just sort of there. And I think when you look at what Todd Grantham likes to do, he likes to get guys like Brenton Cox in a variety of different ways and get him out in space. And have them impact the quarterback in a variety of different ways, even if it's just moving that quarterback off the spot. So, yeah. Long story short, I do believe that Todd Grantham can make Brenton Cox a star, but Brenton Cox is going to have to do some work too, because I don't believe that Todd Grantham's defense lends itself to consistency from that spot, because there are going to be times where every Florida defense gets burned by the way Todd Grantham calls a game. Like, that's just the way it is. So if you're anybody on Florida's defense, you have to understand, hey, look, we're going to be aggressive, but when bad things happen, don't let it affect you beyond that drive. And I think Brenton Cox is a perfect example, because he's going to be in space and he's going to make a ton of plays. He's going to get burned every once in a while. He's going to get beat. That happens. Don't let it affect you between the ears. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge that he faces this year.
One more player, can I ask you?
Absolutely.
All right, well, it's wide open. You can't get this one wrong. I want to know who the breakout, who the stud, who the Jarvis Jones in Athens is, if there is one. And I keep hearing, we're so deep, we don't have individual stars. And I'm like, Alabama's deep, and Dont'a Hightower was a star, and Rolando McClain was a star, and, I mean, Courtney Upshaw scared the daylights out of me. He was a star. Who can be that guy in Athens? Is it Nolan Smith? Is it Anderson? Who is it?
Well, I mean, Nolan Smith and Adam Anderson for sure. I think Adam Anderson in a little bit of a different way, because he sort of plays that Richard LeCount position, that hybrid linebacker safety.
That's weird, by the way. I was expecting him to add like 30 pounds and be a D end.
And he's not really. No. Which is fine, but he's got that skill set too. Yeah. So, maybe it is Adam Anderson. I would my instant, reaction would be Nolan Smith, just because when you're a guy like that playing what essentially is a hybrid jack linebacker position, and you have Jordan Davis in the middle of the defense to help you out, you're going to get a lot of one-on-one situations, and obviously the upside for Nolan Smith is there. So, my initial reaction would be Nolan Smith. I think when you said Adam Anderson, it kind of, perked up my ears, like, that's not a bad idea. And I'm still waiting for N'Kobe Dean to be like this super, super, super star. Because he's good. He's been great at times. But, man, the way he came in a couple of years ago, they were touting him So win the Masters, win the Stanley Cup.
He's going to be Roquan.
Different things.
He was going to be Roquan.
He'll be better than Roquan.
That, yeah, we were just talking before you came on, unfair comparisons. And better than Roquan, I actually did hear that. Barrett, appreciate you, brother, always. Thank you.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
All right, Barrett Salee again, CBSSports.com. Dan, that qualifies, doesn't it, as he better than Roquan. See, that's how you answer. That's how you top somebody. This true freshman that never played, he's going to be as good as the guy. What was Roquan? Was he the 10th overall pick for the Bears? He's going to be as good as a guy who just won the top 10 in the NFL draft. Uh-uh. He'll be better. That's how you really make the point. And he's good. And he can move. I mentioned this maybe last week or a couple of weeks. Kirby said, no, it's actually his anticipation. He has good enough speed, but everybody talks about, oh, he flies around. And he's got good speed. But he's smart. He sees it. He anticipates it. And I told you, and we talked about it. Get to the spot. Beat the lineman to the spot. You don't have to be bigger, faster, or stronger. Get to the spot first. That goes back to Jimmy Johnson at Miami, Jimmy Johnson in the NFL. And you can still win college national championships that way. You still can, being smaller and faster. In fact, now if it allows you to not change personnel as much, you don't get caught. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on this Monday, talking college football because that's what we do. Appreciate Barrett Salee again, CBS Sports, coming on. There is a chance for a monster week one upset. And when I say chance, I'm skewing it. I'm making at least one, not assumption, but I am going to count as fact something I suspect, and that's that if we're talking best chance for a monster week one upset, it's Miami and their ground game against Alabama. Now, the reason I say that is because I believe Derek King, if he's healthy, and for the purpose of this conversation, I'm going to say Derek King's healthy. If De'Aaron King is healthy, he becomes a much bigger part of the ground game than I think the passing game against Bama. That's not the defensive front necessarily for it's a tough go for anybody, but specifically a quarterback of his stature and his game, it can get a little dicier from the pocket, I'm saying. So absolutely you can succeed against Alabama, but the idea there's two ideas that I just don't see developing for De'Aaron King and the Miami offense. The first one is he stands in the pocket all afternoon and just, I mean, delivers the ball to open receivers. And that's how Miami moves the football. That's not going to happen. He has to get outside the pocket and then see if he can make a play. And I think that will lead to the running game more. But that also involves a much better offensive line than, I'll say, 98% of us realize, because what have we gotten used to at Miami? Oh, yeah, their offensive line stinks. And they've had moments when it's been really bad, like recent moments, a lot of them. But it's better. And it's actually anchored by a guy we'll talk more about, Zion Nelson. But they've got a lot of really good talent on the offensive line. They also have several, I'll say running backs, really good running options And some of that will involve wide receivers. Some of it will involve De'Eriq King. But it'll also involve, pending everybody coming back from injury or surgery or procedures or whatever, Don Chaney, for instance, Cameron Harris, they've got multiple great options as traditional running backs as well. And I'm talking two-way guys, guys that you don't tip your pitches when you take them off the field, whatever. Now, for Miami to come out and give the monster a week one upset, it means lining up the only path possible, because I said he can't stand in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. When De'Eriq King gets out of the pocket, he is more prone to run, for instance. Like Johnny Manziel, he was a running quarterback. He was more a mobile quarterback. Now, he could run and had great numbers to support it. But do you know when Johnny Manziel was at his best? He was stepping up in the pocket, moving sideways, taking two steps back, baiting the defensive end to take an inside route from the tackle and then bouncing out the other way to the flat. Johnny Manziel, what he did, I think, as good as any college quarterback maybe I have ever seen. Do you know what he did? He kept his eyes downfield while he was dealing with the pressure. He was so amazing. That's not De'Eriq King. De'Eriq King's game, actually, he's an even better runner than Johnny Manziel. So you can succeed, absolutely. But with King specifically, it's going to be outside the pocket. It has to be. Now, from the running, so I think the running, the passing game will be limited in the damage it does to Alabama, even if they're down. So that means lining up and putting together a bunch of 75-yard drives all day. We're going to get the ball on our own 25 and string together a bunch of 11-play, 12-play drives. That is not likely to happen ever. But there's an out here. If there are turnovers from the new quarterback, and I don't even want to say the Bama quarterback, because the Bama quarterback doesn't turn the ball over. A new quarterback does. And so if there are turnovers from the new quarterback and a short field or two, things that don't happen to Bama much, you don't need as many of those drives. So I'm telling you, if it happens, this is how. I'm telling you, if there's a monster week one upset, it's going to be Miami and their ground game. It's going to be the Hurricanes and the running backs and the Rocket 90, the speed sweep, the motion, and De'Eriq King, and some keep away. It is a ball of wax for the Hurricanes. And I'm going to tell you, it can't happen. It absolutely can. Michael Vick, if I have permission to go back two decades, absolutely they could have beaten Florida State in the national championship game. Didn't happen, but absolutely it could have. There are scenarios every year in college. Can this happen? Absolutely. Don't know that it will. So whenever we see those scenarios, I always try to say, here is the path, and then here is how likely it is. Well, I'm giving you the path, and if Bama cooperates a little bit, at least there's a conversation to have.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.